Lots of twin stuff to talk about right now, but the big news from Dan Hayes at theathletic.com is a new conversation with the owner of the Twins, Tom Pollad, about the biggest thing the Twins can do to win back fans. Dan is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Dan, you're just like, were you at breakfast with the owner today?
Yeah, I thought we were going to do a food review, Jason. What are you doing? Yeah, this is out of left field.
Well, where'd
here.
You guys
we
go?
Pancakes.
Where'd you go for breakfast?
The suite. We went to his suite. And, hey, the syrup was, like, fancy. It was nice.
Nice. The Twins, the culinary team over there at Target Field is pretty good.
The food here is excellent. It's hard not to find. It's hard to, like, not find something that you like. Like, there's so many different varieties of food. I love going. But I don't do the concessions all that much because we have obviously good food offered to us in the press dining, like a full meal you can purchase every day. So that's great. But, I mean, the food around here is amazing. So,
Dan Hayes had breakfast with Tom Pollad and a number of other Twins reporters, right? Print reporters?
Yeah. Yeah, there were about, I'd say, 10 of us in the room.
Any TV guys? Who's the most annoying guy who was in that room or gal?
Oh, me. I mean, there were no TV guys. So I would definitely qualify as the most annoying person in that room.
Yeah, you're a bit of a media celebrity. You're a podcaster. You're a radio guest. I mean, you know, people get sick of you for sure.
Oh, without question. But it was a really good session. It's more of Tom Pollad saying a lot of the same stuff that he has since the start of the year, but I thought even stronger. In fact, none of us printed it till today because when we went in, it was supposed to be a casual conversation and off the record. And afterwards, you know, we'd asked him, we were allowed to kind of basically take stuff for background material and like write think pieces, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And at the end of the, like, so we record it with permission. And then at the end of the session, you know, a few of us went up to Dustin Morse, the Twins director of communications, and said, you know, Dustin, this stuff's pretty good, man. And he's like, there's really nothing here that's inflammatory. And so we had to get approval on which ones we could use, which quotes. And we got about 6 quotes approved, but that process took a little while. And so we all wrote it today because it came later last night.
Wow.
But I mean, he said some good stuff. Just
I think that's a fair fan. Can we just stop right there for a second? Because it's interesting,
sure.
Like from a journalism standpoint for people hearing that it is useful, right, to have off the record conversations that can help color your reporting and writing in other ways. So it's not an unusual thing that like journalists would say, sure, with the owner, like, let's sit down, let's get some insight. Political reporters do it with the governor. You do it. You know, this is not unusual. But like,
it's not unusual.
Yeah.
And it is helpful because, look, anybody that when you're a public figure and you're worried about being on the record all the time, you know, anything can be taken out of context. You know, it could be misconstrued. There's stuff that happens like that all the time. And so like the comfort of knowing, hey, I'm not on the record right now. And can you check with me to make sure that we're on the record and ask, you know what I mean? When you say that, then they know and they can speak a little more freely because I don't know. Not everybody wants to, you don't want your official voice represented sometimes. There's a lot of things you can get tripped up on, and I get it. We're talking, like, there's some things that we can't talk about publicly because there's negotiations with the CBA. He can't talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing he can, he'd get in trouble from the league. He'd get in trouble from the other owners.
Right.
And it's all important context to know, like, what the owner of the Twins thinks. And honestly, frankly, we didn't even talk about the CBA more than about half a minute. That wasn't even part of this context. But I mean, the stuff we did talk about was exactly what you should want to hear about if you're a Twins fan. And it's going to, we know the uphill battle that the Pollad family has with Twins fans. They've been here 40 years and fans just don't want to hear it, right? They want to see it. But I think he reiterated that, and he said a lot of good stuff about they have to spend and they have to invest, and then they have to keep doing that, and they have to repeatedly do that. And it's not a situation where I specifically asked, I said, you know, you have had 6 months to kind of see how the relationship is with fans. How do you estimate you guys are doing? And he said people that come here to games He thinks the energy in the building is good, but they clearly need a lot more people, and they need a lot more people to buy in, and they know that that's the case. And I said, okay, well, you guys have this ambitious plan to spend, and how will that be impacted if fans aren't responding? And he said it doesn't. He said it didn't matter. And he said, this is a you build it and they will come situation.
Interesting.
Basically, you have to. Yeah. It was just.
Because that's been a little different from what we've heard before, which is part of the reason that the Twins aren't spending is that they're sort of they've got one hand tied behind their back. Because even when the Twins did win the playoff game and they did that, the fans still didn't show up, so that the Twins felt like they didn't have the revenue coming in to support the spending going out.
Absolutely. And like I think they recognize that their $30 million payroll cut was something that's probably going to cost them hundreds of millions of dollars in the long run because, you know, they have their first success in 21 years, their first playoff series win in 21 years. They end that 18-game losing streak in the playoffs, and they cut payroll. They took all the good momentum and goodwill they were building and just threw it out the window. And while they may have saved $30 million bucks in the short term, in the long run, I mean, think about what that impact has been over the last 2 years at this ballpark. The Cleveland Guardians were just here for a critical series. The Twins are two games out of first place right now.
Yeah.
The Twins are one game out of the wild card, and there were 54,931 fans over three games against Cleveland, two of which they won, and won another series. That's just in July, right after the 4th of July. I mean, that's bad, man.
It was bad. I mean, I'm watching these games on TV, and you're like, to me, this series was the most disappointing. And what it says, you can't blame the fans. You got to blame the team.
Yeah. And look, I had a national reporter text me on Tuesday night and say, hey, man, that crowd's looking kind of sparse. What's going on? Is it a weather thing? And I was like, no, it's a pretty nice night. It's just the fans are tuning these guys out. And I think what's good here is the recognition and hitting it, you know, facing it, versus kicking the can down the road, versus ignoring it, just being oblivious to it. They're addressing it. And I look, there is the pressure of these new two, or actually it's three limited partnership groups. There is the pressure of that driving some of this, because you had all these investors come in and they don't want to see more of the same. So you have people to answer to, and I think they're taking that responsibility serious. But I also think Tom Pollard is aggressive by nature and wants to be a winner, and it was just a really interesting chat.
So how does this translate, Dan, with the trade deadline? And I think we've all been wondering, all right, the Twins taking two out of three in Cleveland certainly puts them right in the thick of things. To me, it makes it feel like you got to be a buyer, not a seller. But what's the vibe?
Yeah, look, if they're where they are right now, in 2.5 weeks, they will do everything they can to buy. And look, there's going to be a lot of teams looking to buy. We know that. So what they're able to do, we'll see. But they're certainly going to be erring on the side of aggressive if they get that chance. But the one thing I can appreciate is that Tom Pollard was not going to say anything, especially on the record, about that yesterday. He gave us his thoughts, and that's where the off-the-record helps. It's like, you know, he can kind of give us a sense of where he wants to be, but him going on the record and saying we're buying is so dumb. It would be so dumb for him to do that right now, because it could put your GM in a terrible spot. Jeremy Zoll, hey, we're buying, right? What if the Twins lose 10 or 12? So they're going to play it out and see how they're doing. But my impression was that they are going to do what they can to add if they're in this spot. They feel like they need to win fans' trust back. They feel like this is their first real chance to show them that, because he came in so late in the off season that he really didn't have a chance there and sees this as his first. But I truly think this upcoming off season will be really when we get to see the Twins, you know, have a shot at spending and having a, you know, fair playing ground, because, you know, in free agency, it's different. It's not the same thing as the trade deadline where you're, you know, whoever's willing to, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting, but if they can keep playing like this, you know, I think their hope is that fans will be pleasantly surprised by what they're able to do, because, you know, they can probably accomplish some things and not break the bank as far as trading away prospects. I mean, you need bullpen help. You don't necessarily need to get that ninth inning guy. You lucked your way into a 19 guy by falling into Yoenis Gomez. But, you know, that's why they made the trade they did today. They acquired a pitcher, Nance, from Toronto, and they're taking another, it's another lottery ticket. You pick it up, you scratch it, you hope for a winner, and if it doesn't work, you move on. Justin Lawrence didn't work. They moved on, and they've had about six or like Luis Garcia was here for 2 weeks. You just try, you keep trying, and that's what they're doing. But potentially they're going to try and add some real arms at that deadline, and that would be, you know, a big boost for this club.
Who do you give up, though? Let's talk about that when we come back. Ryan Jeffers back off the IL. Three catchers for the Twins. Might that be a clue? We'll talk to Dan in just a minute. Dan Hayes is with us from The Athletic. Get to theathletic.com or download the app. You can sign up through the New York Times. Dan's writing is terrific. Covering the Twins for us, joining us from Target Field tonight. Okay, Ryan Jeffers back in action. He is, I think I saw he's in the lineup tonight, right? Hitting second. So what does this mean when you think about, you mentioned before the break some of, that the Twins hope to get a little more bullpen help. I can't imagine that the plan is to keep three catchers on this team, is it?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's almost like would, like that song that was just played there for a second. Would they do something? I don't know. Look, they're going to have to navigate that because Victor Caratini has been outstanding in Jeffers' stead. And Alex Jackson's got some pretty good numbers coming up. But we know Ryan Jeffers is out just equally as good. He was having an incredible season. He'd probably be headed to Philadelphia on Tuesday had he stayed healthy, and instead he got hurt and is, you know, missed a good chunk of time, but he's back. They're going to go three catchers for now. That's one thing that is a real dilemma because Alex Jackson is out of options and they would have to expose him to the waiver wire. Now he makes more money than most people want to pick up. He's like $1.35 million. It's not a typical waiver wire kind of dump, but at this point, if a team is really hungry for catching, they'd probably try to grab him. And I think that the Twins probably, they know that. So they're going with three catchers for now, which is going to be interesting to see what they do with this lineup. Right. Because Josh Bell is really good at DH. Josh Bell in the field is a little tough. Plus Royce Lewis has been good at first. You know, Cody Clemens has been good at second. Like it doesn't work roster-wise as well. But that's the one part about that 13th spot. There's not a ton of use for it. We saw Kyler Fedko, who got sent down basically as a pinch runner and get some staring at bats. So yeah. Alex Jackson can hide for a little bit. Ryan Jeffers makes sense to get some help. He absolutely does as a trade candidate. You know he's going to be a free agent, and he is a commodity. Very few catchers get moved at the deadline. This is a guy that could go somewhere, and the Yankees need help. The Rays need help. The Yankees would overpay. The Yankees are really flailing right now. And you know, I mean, could you get some relief help back? Maybe. That's a really good question that the Twins are in a good spot there. But I don't know that they necessarily want to trade Ryan Jeffers.
Yeah, right.
He's great at the ABS. He's a good hitter. You know, this is...
You got to give something to get something, right? Like, you're not going to...
You do.
You're not going to trade junk and get something good. Like, that's just how that goes.
No, you're right. And they want to keep Walker Jenkins, and they want to keep Kalen Culpepper. They don't want to mortgage their future. They're going to have to be creative. And I think it wouldn't shock me. I mean, hey, Matt Wallner is hitting a ton at AAA.
Yeah.
And does he mean that could they move him? It's AAA. Everybody hits a AAA right now. would they bring him up and move Trevor Larnach? I don't know. Like, there's some serious, difficult questions that they could have to answer if they keep playing well. And I think that the players in that clubhouse would love to make Jeremy Zoll's end of July, early August really tough.
Yeah. Dan, I only have 1 minute left, but I know tomorrow is the amateur draft and the Twins have the highest draft pick they've had in a decade, picking at number 3. How significant is that?
Oh, it is. So they could add impact talent. If they're able to get Rock Chalowski from UCLA, that's a shortstop that potentially could be in the majors next year. Von Lackey is a catcher at Georgia Tech. He has a ton of power. You know, Ryan Jeffers, maybe that's the guy they could look at down the road. Those are good players in this draft. What they get at 3 should be able to impact them. It won't be NFL immediate impact,
right,
but it's soon enough. And, yeah, when you're picking 1, 2, or 3, you're in a really good spot.
Pretty cool. Dan, I'll see you over there. I'm coming to the game tonight. So, you know, I wanted to see
the... Are you going to be in the wrestling ring?
I can't say. Watch.
Jason DeRusso gets powerbombed. That's going to be awesome.
From the top rope. That's right. Look for me like Bobby the Brain Heenan style, like with a chair coming from the side. Dan Hayes with us at The Athletic. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
Pretty fun. Twins baseball going to be on the air here at 6:30. First pitch at 7:10.
Yep. Steve Thompson will take you up to the 6:30 pregame. You know, we mentioned the draft tomorrow, and it's kind of interesting. You have a draft here that most analysts are saying there's 3 top players in this draft, and Minnesota is sort of in the catbird seat in terms of whoever drops to number 3, that's the guy you take. I mean, it sort of makes it easy.
Yeah.
The last time the Twins were in a position like that, it was a 5-player draft, and the Twins had the 5th pick, and that's Walker Jenkins. When he was drafted, in somebody that could be coming up either late this summer or has a really good chance of making the roster for next year. So.
Yeah, takes some time.
It does in baseball. It takes longer than most of the other sports, but it's a big deal.
Enjoy the game, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. I'm going to be off on Monday and Tuesday. I'm going to Washington, D.C. to lobby Congress. I'll tell you more about that when I get back on Wednesday. Continental Diamond time check is 5:57. In advance of your trip to lobby Congress, get a nice watch at ContinentalDiamond.com.